Well, praise the Lord tonight. It's just nice to be here in fellowship with you, and it's been a while since we've been back, but you know, this is the church of my childhood, so there's a special place in my heart always for this fellowship here, and my dad sends his greetings and his love to everyone, and I know he would have really liked to be here, but it just didn't work out for him, but believe he's here in spirit, and I know that you are always in his prayers, as you are in mine. Especially Brother Carey, just appreciate his life and his ministry, and he mentioned that you know, my dad was kind of a mentor to him, but he doesn't realize what a blessing it was for my dad to have fellowship with him. You know, when you have someone that you can talk with about the Word, you know, it went both ways. So I know that was a real, real blessing for him. And we're just glad to be here tonight. I want to get right into the little message here tonight, because I want to warn you ahead of time. I asked Brother Carey how long I should take, and I have a message that the Lord put on my heart that I brought at the home church there in Tucson some time ago, but it took two services in about 3 hours. So you all have that much time tonight? Sure, it's early, right? Amen. So, but we'll try and kind of condense it down a little bit. We'll give you the condensed version here tonight. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to turn to the book of St. John, because we just love to talk about the Word. And you know, sometimes when we begin to look into the things that God has done for us and promised us, you know, time just seems to slip away. And you know that we're eternal creatures anyway, right? We don't we may be in bodies that are locked into time, but really we are creatures of eternity. If we have eternal life, we are made for eternity. So, you know, sometimes it just seems like we get into heavenly places when we begin to speak about the things of the Word. So, fair warning. Okay, I'll take my watch off just to make sure, and I'll put it right up there. Amen. You know, yeah, we have meetings. We had meetings down in San Luis Obispo, annual meetings, and we would always take the clock down, because the minister, you know, looking at the clock, and you could tell that they were trying to rush. And we'd just take it down and don't worry about it. So, St. John chapter 16, and we have a little tradition in our church. I wonder if you might just stand for the reading of the Word tonight, if we could. Amen. St. John chapter 16 and verse 12. Word of God says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you of things to come." And if you go down to the end of that chapter, verse 33, our Lord says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy to us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, as a gift, Lord, to dwell with us and to help us. Lord, and we just pray that Spirit, Lord, that anointing would be here tonight, Lord, that you would use these lips of clay, O God, to speak your words, Lord. None of us is worthy, Lord, to pick up this book, Lord, to handle this word. But, Lord, your blood that was shed on Calvary has made us worthy to take it, Lord. And we thank you for it tonight. We thank you for the grace that's been bestowed upon us, Lord. The free gift of salvation, Lord. The free gift of every promise in the Word, Lord. We love you tonight, and we just pray that your will would be done, Lord. If there's any here tonight that need a touch in their body, O God, I pray that they would receive it, Lord. That they would not leave this place the same as they came in. That this would not just be another service, Lord, where we come in as a tradition, Lord, or because it's something that we do on a Sunday night. But, oh God, that it would be a meeting place, Lord, where we would meet with Almighty God, Lord. What a privilege it is. And we love you. We thank you. We know you promised, Lord, that you'd be here among us. Where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are, Lord. And we rest on that promise tonight, trusting that you're in our midst, Lord, and that your will would be done here in every word, everything that's spoken, Lord. We commit our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. If you don't mind, I'm going to take my jacket off. That's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to say amen, that's okay. I love it. If you want to shout, that's okay. If you want to run around the aisles, I don't mind. If all you want to do is nod your head, just nod real loud. Okay? Amen. You know, I believe it was said one time that saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog. Right. Amen. Just sick them. Go get them. Amen. So, tonight, just have a little subject here about the leadership of God in our life. And I think it was just very timely, the testimony that our brother Kerry gave, because it runs right in line with the subject tonight of being led of God. And we should be led of God in all things. Amen. I don't think it's silly at all to get down and pray before we go on a trip. In fact, I think that's what a Christian should do. Amen. We should pray before any decision, before anything that we do. We should make sure that we're always walking in the will of God. Amen? Because after all, that is the life of a Christian, is walking in the leadership of God. Now tonight, the scripture that we read here in St. John chapter 16, Jesus promised us a spirit of truth, and he said that that spirit will come and he will guide you into all truth. And I want to focus in on that word guide tonight. So that would be our subject of a guide. Amen. The Holy Spirit is given to us to be our guide. Now, this walk that we're on, that we have been called to, is not an, it is rather an experiential walk. As Christians, we are called to a walk of experiences. What do you say? You say, what do I mean by that? By experiences, I mean that there is no spectators in the kingdom of God. Amen? There is no one that's truly a member of the kingdom of God that just sits back and says, go team, you guys are doing great, fight the good fight, I'm just going to sit back here and watch. If you're really a member of the kingdom of God, of the body of Christ, you are in the battle. You are in the middle of it, whether you know it or not. And God has called you to experience the Word of God. The journey is one of experiences. We've been given a gospel, we've been given a word, we've been given many promises in the Bible. If you've read your Bible at all, you know that it's full of promises. Things that Jesus said that would come to pass, things concerning the believer, prophecies for the future, but perhaps even more importantly, promises for our daily life. Promises of overcoming. Amen? Jesus said here in verse 33, he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, if you look back in the book of Revelation, you'll find there in the third chapter where he says, I have reserved a place for those to sit with me on my throne, even as I have sat with my Father on his throne. And it's promised to the overcomer. You look through the third chapter of Revelation there, you'll find every promise given to the overcomer. So that tells me that there's going to be a people that will overcome. Amen? Not be overcome, but be the overcomers. The scripture says, Paul tells us in the epistles that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Amen? So, you know, when I see that in the scripture, and you know, God didn't just write that in there for me to read it and go, wow, that's nice. That's a very encouraging scripture. I'm glad that's there. But he called me to experience that. Amen? to have the experience of an overcomer, to have the experience of a conqueror. Now, that means there has to be something to overcome. That's the bad news. That means there has to be something that needs to be conquered, right? But praise God, He has given us a power. He has given us, He has equipped us with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit. He's equipped us to be overcomers. Amen. So, this journey that we're on is a one of experience, but we've been given a guide. The Holy Spirit is the leader on that great journey. Amen. Now let's turn to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read here in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, he didn't make room for many exceptions there. Amen? He said, if any man, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. So he says, if you will come after me, then let that person that heard the call, and if you're a true believer here tonight, you heard a call. Amen. Something called. Something knocked on your heart. Amen. And drew you. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, follow me is very critical there. Amen. We're not following our own path. We're not following our own way. We're not following the path that's laid out by some man, no matter how much we admire that man or woman or whoever it may be, but we're following him. Amen? He commanded that we would follow him. Now, for the disciples, the people that were there walking with Jesus, when he said, come follow me, it had a very real meaning for them. Is that right? Because they left. They dropped what they were doing. Whether they were mending their nets, you know, they were fishermen, some of them, you know, a tax collector over here, this one over there, when he came by and he said, follow me. Well, they didn't say, well, you know, okay, we need to, you know, maybe next week, right? I see that that's good, but maybe next week, you know, I'll make it out to church. No, they dropped what they were doing and they followed him. And they didn't go back to it until he was taken off the scene, right? So, for them, it had a real context, and it shows us really in type what we should be doing. They dropped everything they had, and they walked with him. They left their way of life. They left their old life behind to follow him. They left their family behind. Some of them left behind the family business. Left it behind to follow him. They left whatever life they knew. They went into a life of suffering with him. Jesus said that he didn't have a place to lay his head. Right? Remember that scripture? He said, you know, the animals, they've got places, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't own property. He didn't have a house. He wasn't walking around in a lap of luxury. And those men, when they agreed to follow him, they agreed to walk in that walk of suffering with him. They experienced, when it was raining on him, it was raining on them. When he was cold, they were cold. When he was hungry, they were hungry. That's the life of following him. He said, if this world would persecute the master, how much more would they persecute you? If they persecuted him, They persecuted them because they were right there together. So whatever, wherever he led, wherever he walked, if he decided they were going to walk over the mountain, they walked over the mountain. They said, "Oh Lord, we don't want to walk over the mountain." But they followed him. Amen? That is denying yourself. He said you have to take up your cross and deny yourself. And that is so hard for us in this day, because in our culture, in the way that we've been raised as Americans, right? We have our American right. And we have things that we believe are coming to us. And you know, everyone talks about, self-worth and everything is me, right? Everything is self-help books it's the do what you feel like generation. And so we're used to, as a culture, and we get bombarded as Christians from the outside, of this idea that we cater to ourselves instead of denying ourselves. And you know, there's a type there in something as simple as food. Because, you know, the Bible talks about fasting, right? And that is just a way of denying yourself. That's all it is. It's asserting your authority over your flesh. Amen? And so, denying ourselves, but we find that we are in that battle constantly. Because I don't know about you, I'm looking around, everybody's in their flesh. Amen? We still have this old flesh nature. Even though it's wrapped around a child of God, we still have to contend with this. As Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, "The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do." Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the flesh. He's talking about this old sin nature. Amen? That's why we have to deny that. Because otherwise that sin nature will stand up and say, "No, I want to go do this. You know, I want to go to the ball game on Sunday instead of coming to church. I don't want to get down and pray. I don't want to serve God." The Bible tells us that in this flesh, there is no good thing. That tells me that it is actually an absolute enemy of God. It will fight you at every turn. You say, "I'm going to get down on my knees and pray." And if anybody, you know, if you've ever set aside that time for prayer, you get down on your knees or wherever you're in your prayer closet or however you do it. I actually don't like to get down on my knees. I like to walk around. But when you set aside that time for prayer, you find out the enemy fights you. And he fights you through your flesh. Right? If you got down on your knees, pretty soon your knees start to hurt. Right? And your mind starts to worry about something. Or you're too cold. Or you're too hot. Or you got something that's itching. Right? Anything to keep your mind off God. But we have to deny it. That's a simple way. Right? But we have to deny ourselves. I look for every opportunity to battle the flesh. Absolutely. I look for every opportunity to battle against the flesh. Because, brother, sister, when the Lord comes, and I believe in a rapture, amen? I believe in a body change. And you know what? This old sin flesh, I know only the parts that are faith, pure faith, are going to go. The old sin nature is going to be left behind. Amen? So why do I want to build that up? I heard a story one time of a man who said that an old Indian. I don't know, maybe you've heard the story, right? This old Indian, he had gotten converted, and they asked him, and they said, how are you doing? And he says, "Well, you know, inside of me, it's like two dogs fighting. You know, there's the white dog and the black dog, the good dog and the bad dog." He had a revelation that there was a war going on inside of him. And they said, "Well, which one wins?" And he says, "Whichever one I feed the most." So are you going to feed the white dog or are you going to feed the black dog? Are you going to feed your flesh or are you going to feed that part of you that is redeemed? Amen? The real you, amen? The part that's a son or a daughter of God. So he says, come, part of following him, part of allowing the guide to guide you is to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Lose your life, he says. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Why? Because you think in saving your life, you're catering to the flesh, and the flesh is already dead. But people are so hung up on that. They focus on that. But in trying to save that, that is the very thing that's dead. But if you lose your life, if you give it freely, then he said, whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Amen? So take up his cross, follow me. When he said, come follow, he wasn't talking about a halfway walk. He was talking about all of our life. Amen? He was talking about everything that we have, every moment. Let me turn to another scripture here in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Amen. So he promised, you know, God's the best investment you can ever make. Anything that you can give up for him, he'll give it back to you 100-fold. But the problem is that we don't have enough confidence, we don't have enough faith in his word to cast it onto him. Amen. We try to hold on to it and we try to be the guide. We try to be the one leading instead of allowing him to lead. When he says, I want you to stop doing this, I want you to give that up. That friendship that you've had with some worldly person or something, they're dragging you down. Give it up. So you give it up. And he'll bless you 100-fold. Bless you with more friends. Amen? The right kind. Whatever you're going through, we all have things, amen, that drag us down. Your weakness is different than my weakness. But we have to be aware of them and battle against it. Amen? And he promised that if we would give up, sacrifice anything to him, he would repay it 100-fold. I like that promise. I don't know about you, but that has kept me many hour. Amen? That we would receive 100-fold, not just in on the other side, but here, a blessing now. Amen? I like how he just kind of throws in there with persecutions. By the way, it's not going to be a bed of roses, even though I'm blessing you. If those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. Amen? That was part of that overcoming that I mentioned earlier. You got to have something to overcome. Amen? So the question is tonight, are we willing to be led? Because that's really what it comes down to. How hard it is as Americans to allow ourselves to be led. Because this is the great independent American spirit. Amen, that we have. Where every man is his own man and his own leader. And that's true, and we thank God for that. We thank God for that freedom. Amen? But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. The way that the economy of God works is that we are sheep. And we need a shepherd. Because without a shepherd, we are just lost sheep. And we're worse than lost sheep, and I'll tell you why. Because a lost sheep at least knows that he can't find his way. And we've got a delusion that we think we can make it many times without him. But he's given us a choice. Amen? He put us on a free moral agency where we can choose. Just like he made Adam and Eve, he gave them a choice. You know, I often hear about people, oh, how come God made it, set it up so that man would sin. Well, God just gave them a choice. That's all he did. He knew what would happen, but he wanted to be a redeemer. Amen? He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a deliverer. But he gave them a choice. And brother, sister, friend, tonight, you have a choice every moment, every hour of every day. And believe me, you have to make a choice every moment of every hour of every day. You choose how you spend your time. You choose what you say. You choose what you read, what you listen to, who you talk to, what your attitude is. Amen? You choose how you live your life. And it's a choice. So God gives us the absolute freedom to choose Him. So, but He desires that we would choose to follow the guide. He doesn't force anyone to follow, but He says, this is the way. If you'll follow, I will stay with you and I'll never forsake you. Sometimes it's hard to make that choice when we're in the midst of a circumstance or a trial. Sometimes when the enemy has us blinded and we see, it seems like there's no way out. Sometimes the storm clouds gather so dark that it doesn't seem like the sun will ever shine. But that's when the choice has to be made. Joshua said it. He said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. I will deny myself and serve Him. Sometimes it's not in the midst of a trial. Sometimes it's temptation. Sometimes it's when things are going so good. Well, isn't that the blessings of God? Yes, but it's also a trial to see what you'll do with it. A test, maybe. You know, Israel, the nation of Israel couldn't stand prosperity. You look all through the scripture, every time that God started to bless them, what happened? They started going off into idols. They began to think that they were the ones that were doing it. And so God will allow prosperity maybe to come in your life. If any of you have that trial, I'd like to get your phone number afterwards and, we'll become buddies. Usually that's not the trial, right? Usually prosperity isn't it, but a blessing, right? Or maybe you accomplish something, or maybe it's just a temptation. Here in America, we've got temptations all around us. You can't go to the grocery store without a temptation in front of you. You can't look, and I highly recommend that you don't look, at the magazine rack in line at the supermarket. I just look away. I've gotten real familiar with the little gum rack that's on the other side. Because you can't look. Because this world has gotten so dark. Amen? But anyway, sometimes we have sometimes it's a temptation. It's a temptation maybe in your job. Maybe there's a promotion. This happened to me, so I'll tell on myself, but I've turned down promotions because it would keep me away from church. Well, I believe that was just a temptation. That was a trial. Just to see what I would do with it. And you know what? I got the promotion anyway. Put the Lord first and He'll give you the desire of your heart. Amen? So, it may be a test, it may be a trial, it may be a temptation. But if we do all things by the Word, by the guide, He will bless us. Amen? Amen. So, no man is our ultimate leader, only God. Now we, of course, submit ourselves to different authorities. As children, we submitted ourselves to our parents, which is absolutely correct. In fact, as children, we serve God by obeying our parents, right? And we know that there's a place for a husband and a wife, and there's a place in the church for a pastor, and God places men in authority and positions. I'm not talking about that. We recognize that. But every one of us must follow the guide personally. Now, all those positions and all those authorities that are placed over us, we have to understand that God uses that. Our brother Paul wrote in the scripture, he said, if any man think himself spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So when Paul wrote and Paul was speaking, when Paul wrote these epistles, he was bringing the word of God to the church of that time. He was the voice of God to them. Now, he was not their guide, though. He wasn't the Holy Ghost to them. We want to make sure that we get the difference. He said, let them acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord, and they had to submit to that word, just like we do. We believe the Word of God. We believe the Bible. Amen? We submit to that authority. We believe that God used Paul to write the Bible. But Paul is not our leader. Amen? God is our leader. But we recognize that God used Paul to speak to us. Just like when Brother Carey gets up, we pray that God is using his lips to speak to us. Amen? That when God can use any one of his people. He can use a brother or sister to speak words to you. Amen? Now you have to take it back to the authority, to the Bible, and make sure it's right. But recognize that God can use all those vessels. But all of that must come down to a personal voice of God speaking to you. Just like our brother, I thought that was such a great testimony. He sought the word, he sought the desires of God before he went on his trip. You've got to come to a place where you know that the guide is leading you. And if you know that the guide is leading you, then nobody can shake you from it. Once you've got a revelation that God told me to do this, nobody can shake you from it. When we just moved 2 months ago from San Luis Obispo, California to Tucson, Arizona. Now, for those of you that have never been either place, let me draw you a little picture. San Luis Obispo, California has weather that's described as 73 degrees and sunny 365 days a year. Now, it's not exactly that nice all the time, but it's pretty close. I don't think I've ever lived anywhere that had better weather. Beautiful place, nice little town, good job. Everything was really nice and really comfortable. And about a year ago, the Lord began to deal with my heart to move to Tucson, Arizona. Now, Tucson, Arizona right now is, 103, 105. It's really dry. There's scorpions. There's snakes. It's a big city, not exactly my choice of a perfect place to live. And the Lord began to tell me to move there, to move my family. I had a job. I didn't have a job in Tucson. I had a job in San Luis Obispo. We had a nice little church there. Everything was comfortable. And the Lord said, go. Now, I want you to know that I did not go easy. We prayed about it for about a year, probably. We even fasted. In fact, towards the end, I began to pray, Lord, I don't want to do this. Are you sure this is what you want me to do? But I did that for a purpose. And that's because I knew that if I did that, that God was going to have to make the path. He was going to have to knock down all these different walls. He was going to have to open all these doors. And I knew the enemy was going to fight me on it. I knew that was going to happen, and so I knew that I needed to have an assurance that that was really what he wanted me to do. And that's when he gave me this message to be a guide. Do you trust me to be your guide? Do you trust that I can lead you? And I think so many times we're afraid to step out on faith, not knowing, Lord, I'm not sure if it's you. I think it is, but I'm not 100% positive. And sometimes, brother, sister, we've just got to have enough confidence in God that he can lead us. And so I did it, but I knew before I told anyone, before I made the decision, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that that's exactly where God wanted us to go. And I was right. We still faced the battle. I think the whole drive over there, the enemy was sitting in the car next to me telling me, you are crazy. You are insane. What are you doing? But I want to tell you, in the 2 months that we've been there, we've seen God move just in amazing ways. And I'm so thankful that we followed his leading to go over there. Not that there was anything wrong with San Luis Obispo. Wonderful place to live if you'd like to go there. But we have to follow the leadership of God. Amen? So we have to discern, we have to learn to discern between hearing from the man part and hearing from the Holy Spirit. The thoughts of God versus the thoughts of man. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents of heart, dividing asunder between the soul and spirit. dividing asunder between the emotions of the man and the voice of the Holy Ghost in your life. Now, I got to get going here. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, when we talk about this being a guide, think about in the natural. I don't hunt, but if you do hunt, you know that many times when people go out to hunt, if they're going to an area that they don't know about or is strange to them, they'll hire somebody to be a guide for them, right? They'll take them out there and they'll tell them, you know, all the things that they need to prepare, the right kind of gear that they need, and they plan out a trip, and they maybe looked at the territory ahead of time, or they're very familiar with the territory, so they know all the places. And so that you would hire a guide to take you hunting. Now, we have a guide that's guiding us through the walk, through our walk of life. And a guide is someone, he knows the way. It's not new to him. He's been there before. He knows the path backwards and forwards. He's well studied in the area. It's something he's familiar with. He knows exactly where to go. His job is to lead you in and lead you out successfully, to get you there safely. Now, along the way, he's not necessarily concerned about your comfort. It may rain on you a little bit. It may snow and get cold. Your feet may get tired. You may run into all sorts of things along the way. But the guide's job is to get you there safely. He didn't promise us a flowery bed of ease, but he did say that he would never leave us or forsake us. He said that he would be with us. He said there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is one that will be with you. If you won't leave him, he won't leave you. Now, for the guide to accomplish this, you can't just go wandering off on your own path. You've got to stay right with the guide. The guide knows just the perfect trail to take. You say, oh no, this trail over here looks better. I think I'll go this way. Well, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where that trail leads. You don't know what's coming down the road. But he knows. He knows exactly what's coming. You know, I heard it, my pastor now, I heard him say this one time, and I thought it was just really a good expression, but he said that Satan can't bring anything into your life without God putting his stamp of approval on it first. It comes to his desk, Satan says, I want to do this to your child. And he looks it over and he says, they're not quite ready for that. Rejected. Well, I want to do this to him. Well, you know, my child is ready to overcome that. Go ahead, Satan. And Satan goes on his merry way, and the child of God stands up and says, it says in God's word, thus saith the Lord, and defeats him. Amen. Satan comes back and says, well, that didn't work. I'm going to try this. God says, well, no, we don't want that trial. That's not for them. Oh, this one, sure, you can. And it gives you confidence to know that everything that happens to a child of God, he's already known it. He's already foreseen it. Amen? He knows. He knows all things. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. That tells me that everything we go through is for our good. Amen? If we're called according to his purpose and we love him. All right, so we can't have the blessings of a guide if we go off and leave the guide. Amen? You find people that walk out of fellowship or turn their back on God. If they're a child of God, the trials that come in their life may be the best thing for them. In fact, let me restate that. If they are a child of God, the trials that come into their life are the best thing for them because of that scripture I just quoted you. But God has to chasten us sometimes and hurt us back to the guide. Amen? So if we're going to accomplish what we have been, what is meant for us to accomplish, we've got to stay with the guide and allow him to guide us. We can't think that we know more than the guide. Sometimes we think we know best. But there's no comparison. We get stumbled on what we don't know. But he promised, brother, sister, if we would allow him to be the one to lead us in every decision that we make, that it would be perfect every time. Amen? Amen. I'd like to just turn to the book of Romans here. Chapter 1. And we'll just finish up on this verse here. Everybody goes, oh, finally. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Scripture says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." There's a song that we sing. I guess you still sing it here. I remember singing it here as a lad. Power in the Blood. In fact, it was number 10 in the hymnals that we used to have here. Power in the Blood. You know, so many times we've just relegated the power in the blood. Well, you know, it has the power to save the sinner. Absolutely the truth. And that is power. Amen? No doubt about it. There's power in the blood to save the sinner. But what about once you're saved? There's more power. There's as much mercy and grace extended to the believer every day. There's power in the blood to keep you. To keep you on the path. To fight the fight for you. Amen? To equip you to battle the enemy. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And listen to this. He says, "For therein," in other words, for in that power that's in the blood, "therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Showing that it's not just a one-time thing. It's faith to faith. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. It's word, the word of God coming to you like spiritual food just in due season. Just when you need it, the power of God comes into your life. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I'm fighting a different battle now than I ever was. I don't fight the same battles as, you know, when I was in college trying to live a Christian life. I fight a different battle now. So there's a power that God gives for the battle that I'm fighting now. You're fighting a different battle right now. If you've been a Christian a while, a different battle than when you first believed, right? Maybe if you're new to the faith, you're fighting a different battle than you will a few years from now. And each one of us is fighting different battles because we're all different personalities. But the Bible tells us that it's from faith to faith. It's one step after another. It's following the guide step by step. Now, I believe the Bible tells us that we can be sealed, right? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about going into more power and more glory, more of God, to overcoming your trials. Because there's nothing more sad to me than a Christian who's been saved and is just getting beat up by the devil all the time. Well, maybe I'm not saved. Well, you're saved, but God wants you to overcome. God doesn't want you to, you know, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and they began to go to the promised land, God didn't want them to turn around and lose the battle. He made them a promise. He wanted them to go in and take the land. And he backed it up by winning every victory when they obeyed his word. Amen? So, he says, "Faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's not just one day. That's not a one-time experience. That's every day. That's living. That's walking. That's following him by faith. Faith unto faith every day, following the guide. Amen? And this is how the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. We, as believers, reveal the righteousness of God. You are all that the world is ever going to see of God. You know that? Nobody can see God, right? And when Jesus came and walked on earth for a season, there was God in flesh. But now, God is in flesh. And so the revelation of the righteousness of God must come through us. You say, oh man, that's a tall order. If God had designed it that way, God has provided a power to accomplish it. God has provided a way. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard against it. Every time that Satan comes in with a trial, God comes in with something more powerful. Amen? So we thank him for his mercy. The power of God unto salvation is what reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. And the only way that that happens is by staying with the guide. Amen? Staying with him every moment of every day, looking for his leading in everything in our life, every decision that we make, everything that comes in our path. I want to know what God thinks of it. I want to know what his attitude toward that thing is, whether he wants me to pursue it or not. And you say, well, we can't always know. I believe that we can be led. The Bible tells us in Romans, I believe it's the 8th chapter, that as many as are led by God, they are the sons of God. We are to be led of God. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads here this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And oh God, we're just so thankful, Lord, for your love and mercy to us, Lord. We thank you for the power that you've placed in your church, Lord. The power to overcome the wiles of the enemy, Lord. We are to be overcomers in this hour, oh God. And Lord, we don't want to, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that's been beaten up by the enemy, that's been run around the post by Satan, Lord, if we've been beat down or discouraged tonight, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, that we should take heart. As Christians tonight, we are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors. Lord, when we are weak, you are strong through us, Lord. We believe that that word is true, Lord God. That if we would humble ourselves, Lord, and we would resist the enemy, he would flee from us. For it is your promise tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's any tonight that would desire a touch from you, Lord, I know that the portals of heaven are open tonight, Lord. You said, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. For the blood of Christ makes intercession for our every sin tonight. And we believe, Lord God, that you're more than willing and able to answer any need here tonight, oh God. Lord, we just leave it in your hands tonight, Lord. I pray that you just move on the hearts of the people, Lord. If there's any needs, Lord, I pray that you would just touch and minister, Lord. We appreciate your love and your mercy. And Lord, as we walk about our daily lives this week, oh God, may we be aware of those times, Lord, when the enemy is trying to trick us, when he is trying to maybe just speak a word, a negative word, Lord, or something to get us down, or to think about things that are not true, to focus on the trial instead of on the promise. And Lord, may we take that opportunity to make a decision to quote a scripture, or to sing a song, or to tell the enemy to get behind us in Jesus' name. For we know, Lord, it's a battle, but we must fight it every day. And we'll watch the enemy flee from our lives in Jesus' name. We love you tonight. We ask it all in our precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen.